Hey, we welcome you to our Christmas services. We really, really want to bless you in the name of Jesus. And I'm sure in case you don't know where you are in South Street Baptist Church, right? Okay, and my name is Gideon Nash, and I'm bringing the Word of God to you today. And if you've got your Bibles with you, I would like you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. This is not your traditional Christmas reading, but the rendering of it will let us connect with the services as the occasion tells us. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. If you've got our reading, we can project it right now, please. Thank you. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this reading. We thank you for the assembly of the people here. Father, we pray that let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. And I pray that, Father God, even as you are opening the spiritual atmosphere, our hearts and our minds will encounter Jesus Christ and embrace you today. Father God, give us spirit of revelation and wisdom. Father God, to understand what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We've just had a reading, and I'm sure you'll be thinking, where is the Christmas reading? Yeah, this is the Christmas reading. Our theme for this Christmas period is the glory of Christmas. The glory of Christmas. So we started that last week from reading from Luke chapter 2, and we are continuing this week from Philippians chapter 2, the glory of Christmas. See, the story of Christmas is so relevant to our very existence and destiny that failing to understand it will mean we'll miss our visitation. Shall I repeat that? See, the story of Christmas is so relevant, literally intrinsic, part and parcel of us, of our very existence and destiny, that failing to understand it will mean we will miss our visitation. We have to understand the story of Christmas so that what is in there for us, we will not miss it. It's just like if you don't understand the time that your bus comes to the bus stop, you will miss your bus stop. You will miss your bus, wouldn't you? If you're traveling, some of you who've had the privilege of traveling, whether by train or by coach or by aeroplane or by a cruise liner, if you miss the time for your departure, the train ain't going to wait for you, is it? It doesn't matter who you are, unless you own that train. Then they'll hold it for you. But not many of us own the train, is it? Sure. So what we are saying is that if you do not understand what Christmas means to you, then the blessings of God in it, you will miss it, and yours will become just food and drink and merrymaking. You understand that? If you don't understand it, then it's the food, the drinks, and merrymaking, and the parcels that you are looking to open it on Christmas Day becomes your focus. And therefore, the reason for Christmas is missed. And the blessings that God wants to bring to you, you will miss it. Then Christmas has become another holiday period, as people of the world will call it, isn't it? Then that will become for you an Xmas instead of Christmas, right? Xmas, nothingness mass, right? That means the period means nothing. So please, if you have a Christmas card and write in Xmas, I will just tear it into pieces, right? Because it means nothingness. So Christmas must be Christmas to us. So a lot of people at the time that Christ was born missed their visitation. They missed their blessings. A lot of people. But those who saw the meaning of Christmas and who saw and understood that Christmas means God with us, they embraced it and they encountered God and His Christ and they were blessed indeed. Are you with me? Yes. Now, the shepherds were there and at the time, I don't know whether they understood or something, but when they saw what they saw, when they saw the display of light and supernatural encounter in the universe and in the skies and the songs like we are singing, they said, no, this is not a natural occurrence. Now let us go to Bethlehem and see for ourselves what has been told us. So there were signs pointing to something that they were eager to want to go to know what was happening, what Christmas was about, what the birth of the King of Christ was about. So they went to Bethlehem and they encountered Jesus. And if you read from last week, as we read from Luke chapter 2, the Bible tells us that when they were going away, they were praising and glorifying God. They were lifting the name of God high. They were bringing down the supernatural presence of God within their realm, right? The presence of God was with them. That is what it means by glorify God. The presence of God was with them. And they were happy. They probably forgotten that they were shepherds. They thought they were preacher men and preacher women. So they were telling everybody about this Christ. And we know about a story in Magi, about the Magi, when they encountered Jesus, when they saw the comet or the sign of the star, they knew that something was happening. So they did not miss it. But there were many in Jerusalem, there were many in Judea, there were many in the land that Jesus was born who missed it. Even Herod, who was the king at the time, missed it completely. And he asked people to go and search the scriptures and tell him what it was about. So the question is, you don't have to search the scriptures today. Today we are telling you what it is about, right? So I would therefore counsel that we should embrace Jesus Christ this Christmas and have our own encounters which will set us on the path of the supernatural. We cannot therefore overlook history fulfilled in the story of Christmas. You see, when the Magi encountered Jesus, they left a different way. They did not go the same way. That means they left a different kind of people because something happened to them. They begin to hear the voice of God telling them that they should go a different way. So Christmas was a defining moment for those Magi who actually understood the times and walked to see Jesus and bowed the knee to him and gave him present, and they understood what God meant for them, and they heard the voice of God clearly, and they followed. So this Christmas, are you hearing the voice of God? Are you bowing the knee to God? Are you coming before him with thanksgiving in your heart? You'll be saying, oh God, this whole year I've had it so rough. You know what? Some have had it rougher. Today, Indonesia, there's been a tsunami last night. And many have died. And many are living in so much pain and agony. They have had it rougher. And we even have a mild winter, right? When I was a kid in this country, around this time, you are looking for your welly boots. Oh, you think I'm lying, are you? Jackie, you've been here for 50 years plus. And you've been here for so many years, sir. You tell me. Thank you. He says true. So believe him. You're more than 80 years, right, sir? Exactly. Thank you. So here we are. We are saying that We have to know that the times have changed and we have to live another way. So this part of Christmas should let us get into an encounter with God so that we can usher ourselves into the new year a different kind of people. Not that our physical body will change, but the spiritual encounter that we have should change us. Is that okay? I'm not talking about the spirit that is in the bottle. I'm talking about a different kind of spirit. The Holy Spirit. It got to change you. Hallelujah. So, my theme for today, I said, the glory of Christmas. So, the sub one will be Christmas is hope realized. Christmas is hope realized. We learned last week that before Christ was born, the people of Israel, that's God's people, were hoping for redemption, that is, for their Messiah to come and save them from the oppressive rule of the Romans. And at that time, the Romans brought some good things like straight roads, as we said. But then they also brought some two very bad things. Taxation. Well, if you don't like paying tithe, then that will be a bad thing for you. And then they also brought crucifixion, which was also a very bad thing for the people who were living in hope for the Messiah. So this oppressive thing made them so difficult. So even as much as they were enjoying some good things, bad things were also happening to them. And therefore, they were looking for a way out of this. And sometimes it's like us that in the whole year we've had good times and sometimes bad times. So what is the hope for us going into the coming year? Our hope is that whatever we did not like in this year will not repeat itself in the coming year, right? Amen. Whatever was held back this year, in the coming year, we want to see it happening, right? Amen. Whatever the enemy was doing to us, we hope that in the coming year, we will actually do it back to him. Because we are people who will encounter Jesus. And therefore, we move in the power of God. That is what we are looking at. So, therefore, when John the Baptist appeared and started preaching in all the country around the Jordan, baptizing a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, some had a revealed knowledge, revelation, right? Simple understanding, right? Sometimes when we say revelation, people think, oh, what's that? A revealed knowledge. Not that suddenly you know something, but suddenly the understanding comes like, boom, wow. You know, sometimes you'll be walking past a house and you don't even know its number. And suddenly, it's as if you know the door color and then you know the number of the house. It's a revelation, right? Revealed knowledge. So, somehow, somewhere, he was praying. John was baptizing people. And some had a revealed knowledge of the writing of the word of God as the scriptures and connected it to the times that they were living in. So the times that they were living in was not just an any ordinary time. They were connecting scripture. And the scripture they were connecting when they saw John baptizing people for the forgiveness of sins or for repentance and for people to connect back to God was this from Isaiah 40 verse 3. A voice of one calling in the wilderness saying, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. So those who could understand when they saw the Romans making straight roads, they remembered that Isaiah had prophesied 700 years back that make straight for the way of the Lord. So they realized that the visitation of God was coming. Do you understand that? So something was prompting them that God is coming. God is coming. So those who understood the times were thinking, when is he coming? Where will he be? Where will he appear? And as we read on from Isaiah 40 verse 3, 4 and 5, it said, and every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. That is, and all people of God shall see God's salvation. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. So they saw the sign of the coming Messiah as it was written in Scripture. And just like they saw in the places physically, they knew that Christ was coming. Then those who understood the time, they said, now we are looking for the time that the valleys will be filled, like the potholes in the streets of Ghana will be filled. Never mind backyard of Lagos. I'm not talking about Jamaican right now, right? I know it's the same. But I didn't want to shame you, Jackie. So, the potholes will be filled. So, they saw that suddenly they're going to have good roads. Suddenly they know that the valleys are going to be filled. So, the valleys in their lives are going to be filled. Suddenly they realize that the mountains are going to come down, the hills. Anything that has stood in your way, they know that it's going to give way. Suddenly they know that the crooked places shall be made straight. The things that sometimes you just go round and round and pray and pray and pray. It takes longer and longer and longer to happen. They know that this time is going to become quicker. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be born. He's going to be manifested. He's going to be revealed to the people. And anyone who encounter with him will have those power to do that. So literally, he said, look, if in the course of the year you've been so low that you can't even raise yourself up because of circumstances around you, then the time has come for you to stand tall, because our God is going to change situations. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Our God is going to change situations. But it's literally on condition that those who will want to encounter him, they will know it, because God has made the provision. So you have to be ready for God to encounter you, and you have to encounter him. And when that happens, your agenda and his agenda coincides. And when it coincides, God's purpose will be realized in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can't just sit and expect God to answer your prayers. You cannot just sleep and understand that all your demons will fly away. You cannot just not sit down and hope that you get a job until you put in the application. I'm just stiff right now, right? You cannot just sit and hope that things are going to happen. You've got to do something about it. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. And sometimes we have to take things by force, right? You see, because I remember God was saying something in Matthew and said, look, from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence. And violent men, take it by force. What does it mean? That means that the kingdom of God, and for God's purpose to be realized in your life, and for the kingdom of heaven to come down, your kingdom come, thy kingdom come as it is in heaven, here on this earth, for it to happen in your realm, sometimes there are some unseen forces that work against it. Sometimes there are physical human beings that work against you. Sometimes the system will hold you back. But for that to happen, then you've got to be spiritually violent. You understand that? You have to take it by force. You have to look at it and say, you know what? I am not going to sit for this. I am not going to stand for this anymore. I am going to take what is mine in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. At least you're reading the daily devotions. We went through Ephesians not too long ago. And chapter 1, we realize that God has predestined us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and everything, our redemption has been predestined, and our purpose and our grace and our blessings have been predestined, and therefore it is for you to take it by force. Because it's like somebody, a thief, come to your house and holding your money, and you look at him and say, oh, thief, in England we just say hello. Will you say that? A thief come to your home and he's taking your stuff and holding on to it. And for some reason, he couldn't move and he waited for you. And you woke up and you saw a thief in your house and said, hey, thief, it's Christmas. You take it. No way. You won't be doing that. You will take it by force. So the way we take things by force, spiritually being violent, we have to up our prayer levels. We have to increase our prayer times. You understand that? This is Christmas message we are preaching here. Hallelujah. Amen. So all flesh shall see it together, and all the people of God shall see God's salvation. So that is a promise to you that all the people of God shall see God's salvation, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. And we know that whatever God has spoken, when his word goes forth, it will not come back void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it's been sent. Right? So when God has spoken concerning you, it's got to be fulfilled. But sometimes you have to take it by force. You have to take it by force. Daniel was doing that in chapter 10 when he was praying and seeking God's face. And the time that he started praying, the answer kept coming. But there was some supernatural powers going up in the wicked spirit of wickedness, working and holding it back. And he had to continue praying for 21 days. He did not stop. Doesn't mean that he didn't stop to eat or anything. But that means if he had allocated 30 minutes of prayer for that particular thing, every day he was praying 30 minutes for that same particular thing. Remember some time back, not too long ago, in October, I was preaching and I said, look, to have a breakthrough, you have to accumulate your prayers. You understand that? You have to accumulate your prayers. And I gave you two illustrations, one with a jug and a water, and I was pouring it. If you pour a little bit, it will stay there. If you pour a little bit, it will stay there. But as you continue pouring it, it will come to a point, it will get to the top, and it overflows. And that is your breakthrough, right? And we use Nemo's video to tell you, even simple things of this world, when the fish was praying and, I'm pressing on and say, come on, swim, keep swimming. And as they kept swimming, what did you see? In the supernatural, upstairs, what? If there was a breakthrough. And when it broke through, all the fish did what? They went away. So you have to pray that as it is in heaven, so shall it be here. You have to continue praying, pouring in your prayers until something breaks in the heavens. And when it breaks in the heavens, that's what we call breakthrough. And then you actually see the physical freedom of it. Is that okay? So the mouth of God has spoken this. You see, the signs of the coming of the Messiah was written all over. The people all over the place, like we see today. People traveling to their hometowns. Were they not traveling during Jesus' time to their hometown for census? They were. Many flooding to the shops, and some put up lights over all the places that you see. We have lights here, don't we? We don't normally put this one on until Christmas, right? And you guys know that you don't put your Christmas tree until Christmas comes, and you put lights on. And we know from John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ is what? Is the light of this world. The light came. So everything was pointing to God. So each day we look around us, we see that this season is about God visiting us, the supernatural God visiting us in the form of man. The difference between then and now is devout or godly and spirit-filled people like Simeon and Anna the prophet, connected the times to scripture and prepared the way for the Lord. You see, and the way to prepare for the way of the Lord is to have a change of mind. Is that right? A change of mindset. We have to change our mindset from hope to the now. That means instead of hoping that it happens, we want it now. That is what we call faith. Faith is the confident assurance of the things that we hope for, the evidence, the now, of the things unseen. We see it as if it is with us. Hebrews chapter 11, right? Verse 1 and verses of the same Hebrews chapter 11 say that, look, without faith it's impossible to please God. Another way to put it is that it's impossible to receive anything from God. Same rendering. So, what we are talking about is that now our mindset had to change, that this time we don't have to hope for things, but as we pray, we have to have the mindset that when we pray, we know that we are praying to a supernatural God who is able to give it to us. Is that okay? So, Christmas is to bring a change of mindset that the glory of God is here with us. It is no more a future thing, but a now event, an occurrence. Emmanuel, God with us. This time it's not that God will be with us, but God with us. So Christmas is God with us. So we don't have to look far to know that God is with us. Therefore, if we were hoping that every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill brought low, the crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth, the answer is now, because God transcends time, space, and matter. Do you understand that? God transcends space and matter. That means time doesn't mean much to God. Distance doesn't mean much to God. Even the law of gravity doesn't mean anything to God. He's able to do things if you will trust him. So Apostle Paul wrote, you'll be thinking, oh God, when is he going to go into this passage that he read? He says, in your relationships, Philippians 2, 5 to 7, with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in every nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. In everything that we do, in our everyday life, have this mindset of seeing God in every situation in order that the Son of Man to be manifested, to be revealed to you. In every situation, look for God. What is God in this? You're looking for a husband. Where is God in this? Hallelujah. You see, I mean, someone was sharing something with me yesterday and said, look, most of the time when we're going to buy a house, the first thing that we, if we have kids, first thing we look for is schools. We don't even think about, is there a Bible-believing church there? Is that right? We look for schools, good schools. Is that all to life? So that means all your life and the life of our children is modeled around good schools, and God is out. When you're going to look for a partner or a husband or a wife, I mean, if you're a wife, you're looking for a beautiful woman, right? Is that all that you're looking for? Have you thought that 20, 30 years time, the person will probably put on a little bit more weight? Oh, the person's face will wrinkle a little bit. Oh, the person will decide to go on a diet. Have you thought about that? Thank you. I claim it and I receive it. So somehow along the line, your vision of that perfect woman now has changed. And if it's a man you're looking for, I remember one, I mean, someone was telling me even in this church that I'm looking for a man who's middle class, who's a little bit tall, who's got a good job and a good car and a good house, and I'm thinking a good everything. And what about if the job goes and the person hasn't got it no more? Then what? You're going to look for another man? So what we are trying to tell you is that our focus in times like this is to put Jesus at the center. Amen. And let everything work around it. Amen. Because we are God or Christians, right? Yes. We are Christ followers. We are church people. So God should be center of it. Begin to pray now. If you're looking for a husband in 5, 10, 15 years, begin to pray now. Don't wait until it is the day. Then somebody come and give you sweet words and you're just spinning around because you are so desperate. Or you see a beautiful car and you think, whoa. And you didn't know that the person actually borrowed it just for the day. Have the same mind as is in Jesus Christ. In your everyday life, have this mindset of seeing God in every situation, in order for the Son of Man to be manifested to you, so that Christ will be revealed in every decision that you make. Because if Christ is not in it one day, what is you have to hand may not be there as you see it, because nothing is permanent. And what do you have to replace it? Sometimes life is so challenging. And when you hit those potholes, I won't mention no nation now, no countries now. If you hit those potholes and if you hit those mountains, you need something to hold on to. And the only thing that is a rock for you is that rock who is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Not even human being can resolve your situation, but God can. Yes. Now, when God is revealed to you in Jesus, you begin to see his majesty, his glory, his power, his influence. This is the point you become, you place a demand on the anointing, his presence to change the course of destiny for you so that your own destiny can be realized. That means when you come to the point that you put Christ at the center of it, then God is revealed to you. And when God is revealed to you and you see his glory, his majesty, and his power and his purpose for your life, then you begin to place a demand. Now your prayers go and your hand goes like it. God, I want it. Now, God, this is mine. That God, these days, sometimes when I pray, you see my hand going that way, and you're thinking I'm just having some exercise, probably some exercise, but I'm demanding it. I'm claiming those things. I'm taking it for myself. I say, God, this is mine. God, this is mine. I will take it. Nobody will take it. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have to get to that point of place a demand upon the presence of God that comes. And I will say this, like when you come to a church, like today, you're worshiping and you feel the presence of God. Because, I mean, when we are worshiping, we are actually creating a stream for God to move through. You see, that is why I prefer that we use, words that lift the name of God. Because it is all about Jesus. You see, when you lift the name of God, you see some energy, spiritual energy released in the church. And when it is the time for you to say, God, whatever is in this, I want it. Whatever this means, I want it. If this means my healing, I want to have it now. If this means that my new job, I want it now. If this means my promotion, I want it now. If this means that you straighten up some pathway for me, I want it now. So that means when you are going home, you know if you come to something, it's happening in church. So you're going with something in your hand, right? Because we don't want nothing that's happening in church. We can come and sit here and sing songs and go away. We don't want to sing songs. We want to actually praise the Lord for his power to be released. Yeah. Some of you may feel something. Some of you may feel hot. Some of you may feel emotional. Some of you feel like screaming. Just let God work with you. And if you're not getting it, say, God, what about me? What about me? What about me? I want it. Everyone had a God-appointed destiny for his or her life. And that plan and purpose should not be allowed to be misplaced or messed with forever. And I'll give you a few examples in the Bible. And I'll bring my read the last few bits and then we'll close. You see, we see Bartimaeus, who was blind, calling upon the name of Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus asked him, what do you want? That I might see. So the glory of God or the presence of God or the anointing of God comes for this purpose. So when you come to a church and you say, whoa, today church is good. It's come for a purpose. So this man, he had there so much commotion going on. He couldn't see and said, what's going on? They said, Jesus is passing. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He drew Jesus' attention. His hand was probably waving. His voice was just loud. The Bible said he shouted. Even when people were saying, shut up, he said, no, I ain't going to shut up. You can see, so you can say what you want, but I cannot see, and I want what I want. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. But sometimes people don't see what you see. They don't understand what you are going through, so they want you to shut up. He said, I ain't going to shut up. You see what you see. You have what you want, but I want what I want. And they stretched forth their hand. He stretched forth his hand, and Jesus paid attention to him and said, what do you want that I may see? We also see a woman with an issue of blood reach out to touch the hem of his garment. Because there were so many people trudging around Jesus Christ, everybody enjoying Christmas, everybody shopping, wherever your favorite shop is, everybody was full with baskets, with bags going all over the place. But this woman said, you know what? I don't need any of those things, but I need one thing, that my sicknesses will stop. My diseases will stop. My issues will come to an end. So she said, I will lay claim to Jesus Christ. So in the middle of Christmas, where everybody is busy, let them have what they want, but you want one thing that you want. Yes. Lay claim and touch the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. Amen. She wasn't even hoping to embrace him because it would be illegal and nobody would allow her to do that. She said, if only I can touch the hem of her garment, his garment, I'll be made whole, and was made whole. We also hear about Mary and Martha being shown much compassion when their brother Lazarus died. And Jesus went. He sympathized with them. So I just want you to know that Jesus Christ came this Christmas is reminding us of God here on this earth to even come and sympathize with us, to come and hang around with us so that he can bring relief to us from our pains. You think God doesn't understand what you've gone through? You think the tears that you've shed this year, God doesn't see? You think that the agony and the distress that you've gone through, Jesus Christ doesn't care? He does. And he said, look, Christmas is the time that I've come so that I can come alongside you, so that I can touch you, so that I can bring relief from those things. We're not going to a new year with such pain and such hardship. And I'll give you one more example. Then we read about 10 lepers in Luke 10, imploring Jesus Christ from a distance. They said, we can't even come close to you. But Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus Christ healed a lot of them at the same time. And one came to give thanks to God. So what I'm trying to bring to your attention is that whatever method that you want to use this Christmas, God is bringing to your attention that Jesus Christ is with us, who is God, who has humbled himself to become man so that he will identify with us. Because the reading said, and the Son of Man, or in his humanity, that means God becoming human so that he can identify with us. And most often, I give this story about the Avatar, the film, that you have to be like the people so that you can hear their voices and communicate with them so that they can hear you, right? So we have to do that. So we read here that our destinies, we see all these people by their actions responded to the supernatural presence of Jesus Christ and made it a reality in their situation, and was an instant situation, right? So they made it their, so when they saw the supernatural God, Jesus Christ, walking by, they realized there was something that they need to get. So they responded to it and they claimed it. And Jesus Christ did something for them. So our destiny ought to be fulfilled. We cannot allow it to be messed up for too long. Jesus came to this world for a purpose, and he was obedient to that call and went to the cross to die for us. He stayed true to his calling. So obedience is a very, very important thing. And somewhere, sometime, I think not too long ago in this church, go to our website, a whole message was preached on obedience. At least some part of it. So somehow along the line, we have to learn to obey God. We see we cannot continue disobeying God and thinking that it's okay. It is not okay. Yeah, I don't know when I preached this message, but I was telling you not too long ago that, you see, even in this world, if you disobey the laws of this land, you get a retribution for it, isn't it? So how can you expect the Almighty God break his laws and then get away with it? But we thank God for Jesus in a time like this. And finally, I'll say the name of Jesus Christ means something for Christians and for Christmas. The name of Jesus must mean something. And I am tired of hearing about parents, or some people say, oh, Christmas is for the children. Christmas is for the children. Which children are we talking about? And yet they themselves are drinking. And they themselves are eating. They themselves are partying. They themselves are traveling. They're doing the things that was happening at the time that Jesus Christ was born. And they say it's only for the children. That means they are not willing to engage in anything. And they think it's okay. Therefore, God, Paul wrote, exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Christmas is announcing to the world and the whole world, the universe, the spiritual forces of wickedness, that God is with us and he has a name. And that name is Jesus. Amen. The name of Jesus changes situations. It emboldens us when we use it. The name of Jesus reflects God's glory for his presence, power, and purpose to be displayed. By faith, we reach out to him when his presence and glory is displayed. And when Jesus Christ said, have faith in God, it means believe in the supernatural power of God to change your situation now and not the future. Faith is making something your own, part and parcel of your life. The prophet Isaiah said, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his kingdom, of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time onwards and forever. The zeal of the Almighty God will accomplish this. I just read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7. What the prophet was saying about Jesus Christ is that he's got a name. He even has a kingdom. The government will be upon his shoulders. So whatever government you come under, it's got to be upon his shoulders. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus Christ will be a wonderful counselor. Not only a counselor who will be there to help you when you are depressed or when you are confused or when things are going wrong for him to help you out, but a counselor also like a defense counsel. Somebody who will stand and protect you and argue your case in court and argue your case among tribunals and argue your case among discrimination and injustice and anything that is going against you. He will argue your case for you. That's what we are talking about. Because he's a mighty God. That is his name. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. The things that give us peace rest upon him. And I like the bit that he said that his reign takes it from David. That means all this thing that we are talking about as his name actually is for human consumption. That means it's bringing the humanity of Jesus Christ into all these stories to tell you that, look, it concerns you and you lay hold onto it. So, therefore, have the same mind as was in Jesus Christ. Let this Christmas be the time you stop feeling sorry for yourself, the season you stop complaining, the season that end, the season that you end persistent moaning, the season that will define a moment for you to stop any willful sinning, but instead let it be the beginning of having an attitude. That was the first word that was picked up in verse 5. Have an attitude of reflecting God's glory in all that you do. Shall we have the musicians here and then we'll pray and will respond to this message. Amen.